If you will turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Last week, we spoke about the history of baptism in the Bible. We had a wonderful baptismal service 2 weeks ago. We said then that baptism did not have to have baptism for salvation. Baptism is to make a public statement of our commitment to Christ, that we have accepted Him as Savior, that we have believed in the death, burial, resurrection. We are believers in Christ. So we went through the history through the Old Testament, that it was a purification, a washing process for priests, for Aaron and his sons. It identified priests. Then we went into John the Baptist. We went into what Jesus said His calling was. We went into the apostles, the day of Pentecost. And we started to touch on where we are now in the body of Christ as far as baptism. And we learned one thing. All baptism in the Bible is not water baptism. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. They were baptized with fire. They washed hands, it started out, then they washed feet, then they washed more of their body. John the Baptist did total body immersion in the Jordan River, but as we saw, that was not foreign to the Pharisees. They understood, they knew what he was doing, so that had been going on at that time. We understand that. But I want us to know also that when we say here that we believe that grace through faith is what saves us, and water baptism does not have a part of that, I want you to know why we believe what we believe. I don't want anybody, Leo believed that, but I don't want you to look at it and say, okay, I just believe it. I don't want you to look at anything that I say and say, okay, I heard it in church Sunday, it must be right. I want you to understand and be able to prove and see it in your heart and minds if I'm right or I'm wrong, if I'm taking it from the book, if what we say is correct or not, okay? So you need to be able in situations when somebody tells you, well, you ask them, have you been saved? Yeah, I was baptized. That's not what we asked. Have you been saved? Okay, that you how you can prove your point and witness to that individual. So 1 Corinthians 12 through 13, the point here is that there's one baptism, and that baptism is we are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ the moment we believe. Remember, we said the 14 things that happen the moment we become believers. And baptism's one of them. It's not separate from that point where we go out and get dumped somewhere. So 1 Corinthians 12 through 13. Okay? So, for just as the body is one, and yet has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though there are many, we're talking about the body of Christ, and he talks about the body, and he's making the physical analogy here to the spiritual body. There are many, or one body, so also is Christ, so the body of Christ, many members. For by one Spirit, here we go, we are all baptized into one body. By one Spirit, we are baptized by one body. Remember last week, we talked about John the Baptist baptized in water. Okay? Why? For forgiveness of sins, to prepare Israel for the Messiah. The apostles, okay? Pentecost, okay? Baptized with the Holy Spirit to receive power. Okay? And they also had to accept Christ as the Messiah. Not the coming Messiah, but the Messiah had already come. Okay? For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Now, I'd said this, at that time, that was a revolutionary thought. Okay, you talk about the big tent, you talk about inclusion, it leaves nobody out. Everybody has access if they will believe. It's there for everybody. No rich, no poor, no black, nor white, none of that. Okay? At that time, there was nothing in the world then or before that offered that. There was nothing. You had classes. Half the Roman Empire were slaves. They had no rights. Okay? None whatsoever. They were in a total different place than the Roman citizens were who were not slaves. Okay? The Jew and the Gentile, both different, as far apart as they could be. Jews considered Gentiles dogs. Okay? As far apart as they could be. All right? So, you've got this fractured society. You've got a class system where some people are here, some people are here, and Paul's saying for the first time, we're all the same. Okay? That was huge. So by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink in one Spirit. Well, how did it happen? When the moment they believed, they were baptized into that body by the Holy Spirit. That was the baptism. Now, turn to Ephesians 4. We're going to go into a little bit more about the baptism of the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Oh, one thing I failed to mention too, and this timing's not very good. If you have to use the bathroom, use the one here or use the one here in the back. Don't use these two back here. I should have said that about an hour ago, probably. I tell you what, that's like those kids at school. That's the worst thing that could happen when Coach Franks comes on the intercom fourth block after they've had Crispitos or whatever and say the water's off in the bathrooms. So, okay. Ephesians 4, verses 4 and 5. There is one body. The body of Christ. That's what we just said. And one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Even as you are called into one hope of your calling. So there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One baptism. Okay? Now, Lord, in this text, is Adonai. A-D-O-N-A-I. And if you'll notice, Lord is not, all four letters are not capitalized, only the first letter. Okay? And in the Hebrew, it's translated over and over in the scriptures as master. So there's one master. Okay? So when they accept Christ, I have one master. I'm living for Him. Okay? Now, Lord, L-O-R-D, with all four letters capitalized. You'll see that a lot in the Old Testament. Okay? That's the Old Testament term for Jehovah. Okay? So there's Jehovah, there's Master. I always thought it was strange the Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that He's the Son of God. They don't believe He had a physical, spiritual resurrection. But they believe Jehovah, but they don't understand that when you talk about Jehovah, you're talking about God the Son, Jesus Christ, who they don't accept in that role. Okay, you also have one faith. In Jude verse 3, the writer says, contend earnestly for the faith. Contend. So we have one faith, okay? That's faith that we believe in. It could be faith in Christ. It could be faith in the gospel. It's faith into all that, okay? Now, when we are saved by the Holy Spirit, it immediately places us or baptizes us into the body of Christ. It says we have one baptism. Now, I want you to think about this. Water baptism would be the second baptism. You are saved and you are immediately baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. Then you water baptized. Okay, they're denominations, they're prevalent. They believe you have to have water baptism for salvation. Well, that's the second baptism. Now, there's an individual who goes to church here that used to be in one of these denominations, and she said, you know, before I started coming here and listening to Brother Leo, she said, I never heard about the Holy Spirit. I went to church 3 times a week, and I, for my whole life, every time the doors was open, faithful member, grew up in church, never heard about the Holy Spirit, ever. Well, if you never hear about the Holy Spirit, then it makes sense. You would never hear about the Holy Spirit baptizing you into the body of Christ. Makes total sense. Goes with the dogma, as Benford says. If you said in these churches, well, you know, here it is, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ, then it totally blows everything they believe out of the water. Okay? When we're saved, like we said, the Holy Spirit baptizes into the body of Christ. Now, some, you get into the more Pentecostal charismatics, then they believe there's another baptism after that, a baptism into the Holy Ghost, to receive the Holy Ghost. But we know from here we have one. Okay? Now, give you a couple of thoughts. I'll give you one of my thoughts and then an experience. Okay? When I was early 20s, okay, I was baptized. Was I a Christian? No. I wanted to make everybody happy. Wanted to make mama happy. Wanted to make daddy happy. Wanted to get them off my back, basically. So, I thought, man, if I get baptized, I will finally shut them up. Was I saved? Nope. Was I a Christian? Nope. Boy, I was baptized. And I could pull that piece of paper out and I could fool 90% of the people in the church. If they saw that, oh, you were saved. I wasn't saved. I knew I wasn't saved. My life had no fruit that I was a Christian. Okay? So now let's get into, let's say a person's been baptized into a certain denomination. I know an individual here in the county who was a member of United Methodist Church, not here, but another one, okay? They became, through family, through marriage, later on, married someone who was a Baptist, so they went over to that denomination. The Baptist would not accept that baptism, so she was wanted to be, she was baptized into a Baptist church. Second baptism, right? Now, if that person would have went to the Church of Christ, guess what? Change membership, they'd have to be baptized all over again. If they would have gone Presbyterian, they would have to do it again. If they would have gone Church of God, they'd have to do it over again. I remember Jonathan Winters one time at the Dean Martin roast. They were doing a roast for Frank Sinatra, and he come out there. He was the bus driver. You know, and he said, Mr. Sinatra here, said, he's Roman Catholic. He said, I'm non-denominational. I've joined about everything there is to join. I don't want to offend anybody. So, and I guarantee you, if that was real life, every church he would have joined, different one they'd made him get baptized. So you're getting baptized over and over and over and over, and I always wondered, which one's right? Okay? One baptism. All right, now I'm going to touch on that a little bit more. Go to Go to Galatians chapter 3. Understand this, when you are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit's never wrong. Keep that in mind. The Holy Spirit's never wrong. All right, so Galatians 3, 27 through 29. Okay. Galatians 3, 27 through 29. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's a verse that we've been clothed with his righteousness. Now, not my righteousness, God's righteousness, Christ's righteousness. Okay? There's neither Jew nor Greek. Here we go. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. Those are revolutionary statements in that area of the world at that time in history. Okay? You say stuff like that, you can get killed. For you are one in Christ. There's that word one again. We're all one. We're the body of Christ. Okay? And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. Ken talked about we're joint heirs in the family of God. Sung that today. We are heirs to Christ. We have this. We are in this family. Okay, he's the matriarch, and we have all these blessings. We have everything that he is going to pass down to us. And we don't have to go through a lawyer's office to get it. We don't have to have the will read. We don't have any of that. We have all these things we have because we're heirs, descendants of Abraham, according to the promise. Okay? Now, go back one chapter. Go to the Galatians 2. And you got to remember, too, descendants of Abraham at that time, that's the first time any language like that had ever been used for Gentiles. For non-Jewish people, for non-Israel, this is the first time that you could have any type, you had an opportunity to have a relationship with God and it not go through Israel. It doesn't go through the temple. Hopefully we'll get to that today. So Galatians 2, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Okay? When I became crucified with Christ, I died, he began to live in me. God sees us as crucified. We were supposed to die on the cross. Okay? If we didn't, we were going to die. We were supposed to die spiritually for eternity. Okay? But he sees the sin debt paid for. He sees me just like I was the individual that was on that cross. The sin debt has been paid for once and for all. Not through anything that I did. Not through works. Not through how good a person I am. It was paid through Christ's death on the cross. He was literally bled out through his blood. Every drop of blood on that cross. Okay? So because of that, God sees me as crucified as well. And even though I died, I live. I live spiritually. Okay? I'm dead to sin. I live spiritually. Go to Romans 6. Man, I was studying this stuff this week and stuff that I'd never thought of or never really realized. Man, stuff began to hit me. And I was just trying to write down as much stuff as I have. I learned a long time ago, when it happens, write it down. Don't wait. I don't care how late it is at night. You might be reading it before you go to bed. If the Spirit tells you something or you get a word on this or something, you see it. It may be the first time you see it. Don't wait till in the morning. Get up and write it down in the morning. Do it then. If you're like me, okay, you won't remember anything. Missy told me this morning about the cards. I said, I've got to remember all that. And she said, oh, yeah, I've got to remember we're doing three cards and I've got to give them to this person. She said, good gracious. You can't. So do it then. If your memory's like mine, do it then. Okay. All right, Romans 6, 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Are we continuing sin so that grace may increase? Far from it. How shall we who died still live in it? Or do you not know, here we go, that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus. Okay, here we go again. Baptized into Christ Jesus. How are we baptized into Christ Jesus? By the Holy Spirit, the second we believed. Okay? If we have been baptized into Christ Jesus, we have been baptized into his death. Okay? When he died on the cross, we were baptized. We became partakers of that. Okay? What does that mean? Just what I said. Christ sees us as that the sin debt has been paid, just like if we would have got up there and paid the debt. Okay? He sees that. That's the way he sees us. He sees us alive now, dead to sin, alive in him through Christ's work on the cross. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism. Okay? Not water baptism, not a word of water in this. Through, when we were saved, through baptism, through the Holy Spirit, into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we may walk in spiritual newness. In newness of life, I'm sorry, excuse me. Sin can cause us spiritual death before we believe, but sin cannot cause me spiritual death now. Now, am I free from sin? When I was saved, did I become perfect? That I can, we've said this over and over, that I can live apart from sin and I can live perfectly and I can never slip up, I can never make mistakes. I'll never be like, why did I do that? Why in the world did I just do what I just did? Or I knew to do this and I didn't do it. Why not? Paul fought those battles all the time. Okay? We're still in this body. Okay? And Paul, the glorification, part of that process is when we go to heaven, not only will there be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering than that, but our bodies are not capable of sin. Okay? But as long as we're here in these bodies, they are. But sin can, even with that, it cannot cause us spiritual death. We are dead. That is what we are dead to. There's a difference in sin and sins. Okay? Sins is something that we do. Sin is the Adam nature we were born with at birth that every human has. We are the seed of Adam. We are dead to that. We are dead to Adam. We are now in Christ's nature. Okay? All right? So you've been baptized into Christ when you trusted the gospel of salvation. Go to Romans 8. Verse 16. Romans 8, 16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. So the moment the Spirit baptizes us into Christ, it testifies with us that we are children of God, heirs of God, just like you said, Ken, just like your son. Now, like we said, all who are water baptized are not saved. Let me ask you this question. So do you believe, and you don't have to answer it aloud, but ask yourself, do you believe that everybody who has been baptized is saved? Obviously not. Do you believe that everybody that has a church membership is saved? Obviously not. Do you believe that everybody that sings in the choir, everybody that teaches Sunday school, everybody that gets behind here is saved? Obviously not. So, water baptism is a hit and miss at best. Right? I told you my story. I got dumped. Wasn't Christian. Right? Shame to say that. But it's true. Now, does everybody who sits in front of a elders or a deacon board or a committee to join a church and they ask them questions, and they give them an interrogation and they're accepted into the church, are they saved? No. But let me ask you this. Is everybody who was baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, are they Christians? Absolutely. According to this, absolutely. The Holy, I can miss. The church committee can miss. Okay? The Holy Spirit knows. God knows. It does not miss. That is your one baptism, that surefire 100% that's never failed. Okay? I even asked a question now. I asked this recently, when an individual I know got baptized, I asked somebody in their family, when did he give his heart to the Lord? When did he get saved? Okay? When did it happen? Did it happen? I want to know that. That gives me surety. I want to know that. If it's no, well, I don't think so. You know, he's getting saved now. He's getting baptized, and I need to say something to him. Okay? Now, turn to Romans 6. Go back two chapters. Romans 6, 8 through 11. Like I said, you need to know why water baptism doesn't save, but then again, you have to be baptized. What's the difference? How are you baptized? Right? Romans 6, 8 through 11. Now, if we have died in Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So we died. We died on the cross. When he was buried, we died. We were baptized into that death. But we believe we shall live with him. But Cameron prayed a while ago, and it's wonderful you can know. Okay, what's ahead of you? Knowing that Christ, who has been raised from the dead, is never to die again. He does not have to go back to that cross where he keeps dying for our sins. Okay? If I do something wrong, I sin, he doesn't have to go back on to the cross again. I don't have to get saved all over. Death no longer is master over him. Isn't that something? Death was my master. Death is no longer my master. Remember what I said. Sin, if you sin, you make a mistake, it does not impact spiritual life or death. Now, I'm going to die physically, but I'm going to live forever. Death has no master. There's not a master over me. For the death that Christ died, he died to sin for all time. He died to sin for all time. It can't come back. All right? But the life that he lives to God. So you two consider yourselves to be dead to sin. I'm dead to sin. So you're saying you're never going to sin. I never said that. Okay? I hope I can get to the road out here without something happening, okay, when I leave church. But I'm dead to sin. I am dead to that nature, that Adam nature, because I've been baptized with Christ into his death, his burial, his resurrection. I have been clothed with his righteousness. I have put on Christ. Okay? I am alive to God in Christ Jesus. Jesus died to sin, and we died with him. Not sin's plural, but sin's nature. The very second we are saved, I didn't have to be baptized later on. I didn't have to join the church later on. We were also sealed. Remember that the law had no remedy for sin. The law could tell you what you were doing. It could point out your sin to you. It could make you know your sin, but it couldn't save you. We're saved now. Why? Through Jesus on the cross. And the moment we believe, we're baptized into the body. Romans 7:4 says we're dead to the law. We were dead in sin. Now we're, get this. We were dead in sin. Now we are dead to sin. We were dead in sin. Now we are dead to sin. Man, in and to. Man, you talk about two different pictures or two little words. Okay, and it paints totally different pictures, opposite directions. Turn to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. I'm not going to have time to get this in this week. I know Leo was always said that he asked to describe him, how he would describe what he is. He's not a Baptist. He's not a Methodist. They always say indwelled with the Spirit. Now, that's what we're going to talk about next week. Indwelled with the Spirit. Okay? Ephesians 1:13. In him, you also are listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having also believed, you were sealed in him. Sealed, what? To the day of redemption. You're sealed. You can't lose it. Okay? You're saved. You don't have to go and question whether or not you've been saved, or whether or not you can lose it, or if you die, or if you're going to go to heaven or hell. Okay? That's what you call peace. Right? So you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. You've got that promise. Okay? Who is the first installment of our inheritance. So when we are saved, we're baptized by the Holy Spirit. We receive that. We have that in us. And that's the first installment of our inheritance. You remember, we know what our inheritance is going to be. This is the first installment. This is the first thing that happens. In regard to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Now next week, I'm going to get into this. Now this is going to be very, very controversial. Okay, in a lot of places. And I remember the first time I heard it said, and I'd studied it and studied it and studied it after, because man, it just blew my mind when I heard it. And I went, that can't be right. There is a difference in being indwelled with the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Ghost. There is a difference. It's not the same. Being filled with the Holy Ghost happened at the time of Pentecost. It happened to the believers who were going, the Jewish believers who were going to accept Christ as Messiah. We went into the description last week of what happened when they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Those cloven tongues of fire and that mighty rushing wind and all that, we don't experience that. We may not feel a thing. But the moment we believe, we are indwelt with the Spirit. Brother Leo never said, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. That's how he, what did he say? Indwelled with the Spirit. There is a difference. We touched on part of it here. We'll get on that next week, where we talked about being indwelt with the Spirit, and you'll see the difference, okay? Now, so being filled with the Holy, being indwelled with the Holy Spirit is the first installment. So I'll give you an example of the first installment. For my 50th birthday, Missy, it was a bucket list of mine. I always wanted to go to Wrigley Field, watch the Cubs. I'd never been. She knew I wanted to go, so that was my 50th, that was my bucket list. So she got me tickets. My brother-in-law, I went with him. He got to see his daughter. His daughter lived on, I think it's Waveland. David, is Waveland the one that goes out behind center field? Yeah. She lived on Waveland. Yeah, thank you. I need to ask you. So Waveland, I walked it off. They lived in an apartment 150 yards from the center field fence when you go in Wrigley Field. They said that they had concerts. They could sit there and listen to U2 or whoever they want to listen to. So they'd just go to the back and grill out and listen to the concert. So it's like they were right there at it. But they were 150 yards away. So you had Wrigley Field. You had a street there. You had a place called Murphy's, a restaurant called Murphy's. And you had the train track right there, above ground train track right there. And they lived in the first apartment. Right across the first house right there at it. I mean, they're right at it. So he wanted to see his daughter. So we went, we got tickets. They played the Pittsburgh Pirates. I played on June 19th, 2016. We get there the day before. Okay? We get there they play on Friday. We got there on Thursday night. So we visit, got to eat Chicago deep dish. It was great. Oh yeah. So wonderful. So anyway. At that time, the NBA playoffs were still going on. Golden State were playing Cleveland. Okay? So I believe that was at that year. So you had LeBron and all those guys playing. So I wanted to watch it. And we got to see up to halftime. And I told Franklin, I don't want to go back to our room. I want to go somewhere and watch it. Our room was the size of this. So it was small. And this is no joke. If I had to get up and go to the bathroom, Frank had to lay down in the bed so I could stand up and go around and go to the bathroom. Two people could not stand at one time. It was so small. Okay? So I wanted to watch this. So we went in Murphy's. So I wanted to watch the game. So I bought a Cubs cap. So I'm watching the game, and this guy comes up to me, and he says, "Nice cap." And I went, "Thank you." And he said, "You a Cubs fan?" "Well, yeah." I said, "You come to the games a lot?" And he said, "This is my very first time I've ever been." And he said, "Very first time?" I said, "Yeah, my wife got me tickets. So this is a bucket list. I've always wanted to come. I've never got to do it." He says, "Let me get this straight. 50th birthday, bucket list, you've never got to go." And I said, "That's right." And he said, "Hold on a minute." He said, "I got to go use the bathroom. I'll be right back." So he said, "Don't leave." So I'm standing there, and his wife's standing there with him, and you could tell they were successful people. They just had that look, and, you know, she looked like she'd stepped right off the runway. And I asked her, they were both dressed really nice, and I asked her, I said, "Well," he told me before he left, too. He said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Tennessee." And he said, "Well, I spoke in Nashville last week at this convention in front of about 3,000 people." And he said, "Hold on, I'll be right back." So I'm thinking, this guy's important. So I asked his wife, I said, "He must be a really important guy. What's he do?" And she said, "Oh, he's the hitting coach for the Cubs." Okay? Well, I have no clue who he is. So I pull out my phone and I Google Cubs hitting coach. Turn around like I don't know what's going on. And sure enough, his name was Dave Malee, M-A-L-E-E. You can Google. So, okay, it's him, and I'm going, "That's him. That's him, literally, that is." So he comes back and he says, "All right, let me get this straight. 50th birthday, you've never been to Chicago, you've never been to a Cubs game, wife got you tickets, this is the bucket list." I said, "Yep." He said, "How would you like to get on the field tomorrow?" And I went, "Can I do this? Oh yeah, I'm gonna do this." I'm thinking, you know, I'm being pranked the whole time, you know. You can get on the field. So, I went, "Man, I'd love it." He said, "How many of you are going to go?" I said, "Me, brother-in-law, his daughter, son-in-law, four." He said, "I'll get you four tickets. I'll get you four passes on the field before the game, up till the game starts." So, anyway, he says, "Let me have your phone." So, he gives me his phone, and he takes my phone and texts his phone with his name, and it pops up on his phone, and sure enough, it's him. I mean, there's no way I could mess this up, right? He says, "There's only one way that you'll not get on the field tomorrow. I want you to call me in the morning at 10 o'clock so I can put your name on the list. I'll be there. Call me at 10 on the button." Okay, I said, "All right." He said, "The only way you can mess this up is not call me." So absolutely, I called at 10 o'clock. Okay? And guess what? I didn't get it. So he called me back like 2 or 3 minutes later. So we got this done, and it was great. We got on the field. Tommy Lasorda was there. He sat right beside me. I talked to Tommy Lasorda for a half hour. It was great. Okay? Time of my life. But it reminded me of something. He said, the only way you can mess this up is if you don't call me. That's it. That's all you got to do. Okay? Believe me enough to call me. I've done everything. I'll get the tickets. I'll put your name on the list. The people will give you the tickets. They'll show you where to go. You've never been here. All you got to do is call me. That's all you got to do. How easy is that? It's like our spiritual life. All we have to do is call on him. Everything's been done. Everything has. That's all we have to do. Well, that's too easy. It is too easy. That's the wonderful thing about it. We don't have to go through all the works. We don't have to go through these things. So I was thinking when I read this, and it hit me last night. The first installment. Well, what was the installment? I've got the tickets. All you got to do is call, and you've got the tickets. That was the first installment was me calling. Once I called, I had that first installment. Well, what if I called and he's got my name on the pass list, then I don't go? Okay? Well, I'm not going to get in. Okay? So that's all I had to do. The installment was made when I called him. He did the rest. So our installment here is we received the Holy Spirit. We are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. All we have to do is believe, grace through faith. That's it. That's all we have to do. So easy, but it'll be the most important thing that you've ever done. If you've not done that, you're here today and you've not done that, I ask you to do it. If you want to come and see me, if you want to come down here, and you don't, I've said this over and over, you do not have to do it here. Okay? You can do it at your seat. I did it, and you get tired of me saying it. I did it in my bedroom floor. So many people here have been saved, and they never did it at church. They never did it at an altar call. They never did anything like that. If you're out there listening, we have a lot of people listening on the internet. All you have to do, grace through faith, believe the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, repent of your sins, okay, and make a commitment, a faith commitment that you're going to follow him. That's it. That's all you have to do. Martha Jo, will you come play? So if you want the Holy Spirit, so I want to be baptized, you know. I know I got to be baptized. You've got to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, not water baptized. Okay? You want to be indwelled with the Holy Spirit. You want to have that first installment. Okay? All right. Play for us, Monkey Joe.